John is in the company of our Lord and leaned upon Him, trusted upon Him. Judas in the company of our Lord, and a man that was privileged, a man that was prestigious, and even a man that was very presentable. And he seemed to never have gotten around, though, to making the very most important decision he could make, and that is to receive Christ as his Savior. Jesus taught in Matthew 13 about the tares and the wheat. And so perhaps we see there an example of how individuals who are, though may be in the company of Christ, have some wonderful things about their character, but maybe never get around to having a personal relationship with Christ. And this evening now, as I mentioned, we come to look at Simon Peter. Peter, who was in the company of our Lord, but struggles. Let's begin reading again at verse 21 of John chapter 13. Scripture says, "When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Before we look into the Word of God, let's first turn to the God of the Word and ask His blessing upon us this evening. Our gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can gather again this evening. We ask, Father, again, that your Spirit would be our teacher and our guide. And we thank you, Lord, as we look now into your servant, Peter, and how so often we may relate to him. I know I do. Help me, Lord, now to glean from Peter's actions. Help us all to be encouraged by him, even though he was someone that struggled, as we attempt to serve you each day with the life you have given us. We thank you and we praise you and we ask all these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. Well, as we consider Peter now in this account of the upper room, I just want to say that again that this morning I did not want to cause anyone to doubt their salvation. But I think that as we studied Judas, that there are many things that that ought to cause us to evaluate ourselves. And so in that sense, it's a good thing to do, to examine ourselves, our spiritual condition, and our motives before the Lord. But often in our spiritual life, we run into difficulties and oftentimes we fail, and I think sometimes we tend to identify maybe more with Judas. And tonight, I hope this message will encourage you, because I think oftentimes we're more like Peter. We struggle. We love the Lord, but sometimes we just struggle. Peter is something of an awkward apostle. And I think he really pictures something of the struggling Christian. Peter loved the Lord. I don't think anybody here would question that. Peter said here, Scripture says that he would lay down his life for the Lord. He had a zeal for Christ. He loved Him. He wanted to be where Christ was. Peter wasn't someone that was caught up in the world. And when you look at Peter's life, we find someone who walked alongside of his Lord. But Peter was also a man that faced a lot of problems. And many of his problems were caused by his own fault. Not all of them, but many of them were. But there's something about Peter that might make you shake your head, and sometimes you just want to cheer for him. Because Peter says some outstanding things. Like when Jesus turned to his disciples in Matthew 16, and he asked them, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he says unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And it was Simon Peter, Scripture says, that said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I believe Peter believed that. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, but at the same time, Peter was also, though he was a strong man physically, he was also at times a weak man, a man that had some serious defeats in his life. On the one hand, Peter is a loving guy, and he's lovable, he's sincere, he's enthusiastic, but on the other hand, he's kind of clumsy, he's kind of weak, maybe even at times self-centered. And as I mentioned before, he always seems to have his foot in his mouth at one time or another. Reminds me of a story of a lady who was taking a tour of an art museum. And after viewing one picture after another, the group was getting very tired. And this after they completed one section of all that modern art that looks kind of goofy, they go into another room, and on the wall there was this item that was in a frame. And the lady says, what is that hideous picture? And the guide looked at her very seriously and said, madam, that's a mirror. Well, that kind of reminds me of Peter. Peter always seemed to be sticking his foot in his mouth, getting himself into trouble. But as I mentioned, I believe Peter loved the Lord, but he just seemed to be plagued with problems and failures and weaknesses. And I think Peter then maybe represents a person in our churches who knows the Lord. He's in the company of the Lord, but oftentimes he leads somewhat of a frustrating spiritual life. I think Peter's troubles are often something like our troubles. I know that's why I identify with him so much. And as you study something in the life of Peter, you notice the source of his weakness. I think the center of his problem, the cause of many of his failures, that leak in his spiritual life, I think is all caused by one small four-letter word. I think that problem is the cause of more heartaches. It's the cause of more broken homes, more failures, more disappointments, more frustrations and shortcomings in the Christian life than perhaps any other single source. It's that four-letter word, S-E-L-F. Self. You know, we live in a selfish world. We live in selfish bodies. And our literal self is the source of many problems in our own Christian life. And I'd like to show you that now in the life of Peter here, as he, I think, illustrates that for us. I'd like to consider this evening two things. First of all, the problem, but secondly, the potential. Number one then, Roman numeral one, the problem. I believe that Peter's problem was much like mine, and maybe even for you. That oftentimes I become too preoccupied with self. And there are three things I like to would suggest to you that Peter struggled with about the self that are illustrated in his life. First, in letter A, he was preoccupied with self. Peter was preoccupied with self. I think one of the things that sort of jumps out at you with regards to Peter is how much he was preoccupied with himself. Look with me at the beginning of chapter 13 of John, and I'd like to show you what I mean. In John chapter 13, we have the account where Christ washes the disciples' feet. Look with me at verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, lay aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Our Lord, after having just finished supper with his disciples, he gets up, he takes a towel, he puts water in the basin, and he begins to wash his disciples' feet. But all of a sudden, the text tells us something happens. Simon Peter begins to speak. Uh-oh, look out. Look at me in verse 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Notice that Peter goes from one extreme to the other. No, you're not going to wash my feet. Okay, then wash everything. My head down to my feet. But I wonder whether or not, and I don't know Peter's heart, Scripture doesn't tell us, but I wonder, was Peter's statement coming out of a heart of humbleness, or was it coming out of a heart of pride? If it was coming out of humbleness, then when he said, it'd be something like, Lord, I ought to be washing your feet, not you washing my feet. But if it was coming out of a heart of pride, it might have been something like, You can wash others' feet, but I'll never let you wash my feet. Now, it's hard to say for sure, but it almost seems like then Peter then was questioning the Lord. Lord, are you sure that you want to do this, that you want to wash my feet? As if the Lord could be wrong. And because of that, Peter was in danger of missing the spiritual blessing that Christ had for him. For it seems that Peter is so preoccupied with self, that he's so self-sufficient, it almost seems like Peter is saying, I don't need you, Lord. And folks, that's a dangerous place to come to in our lives. Maybe Peter is thinking, I can wash my own feet, thank you. After all, I'm a strong fisherman. I've been taking care of myself since I was a little boy. Does that sound familiar, men? We tend to think that way, don't we? And folks, that was Peter's, I think, one of his basic problems. It seems like when Peter was in the crowd, he had this need of being the one and in control. After all, Peter's the fisherman. And sometimes it seems as if Peter had this sense that he didn't need the Savior's help. You see, for Peter, I think, perhaps, his biggest asset became his biggest liability. Because it kept him from depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only was Peter, I think, preoccupied with himself, but I think also maybe Peter was proud of himself. Letter B, Peter was proud of self. It appears that self always leads to pride. Self likes to exalt itself, and then pride comes as a result of that. Notice that in John 13, I think that Peter was too proud, really, to enjoy Christ. Now again, that is to say that Peter doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ. There wasn't any doubt of that. But somehow, there always seems to be something that kept him from taking that big step into really enjoying Christ. And basically, I think it comes back to pride. Jesus said in Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters. No one can serve two masters. You can't not serve self and Christ. And why? Well, Jesus went on to say, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You see, you cannot serve God and money. You can't serve God and yourself. And in John chapter 13, verse 24, Scripture says, and Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him. And that is John. And as we read that account, remember Jesus has said that someone is going to betray him. And so Peter beckons to John that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. And so as I considered this and as I prayed about this, I thought, you know, so here's Peter. He's the spokesman of the group. He's the leader of the group. He walked with Jesus for a long time. And Jesus just said that someone was going to betray him. And I wonder that if Peter thought that maybe it might have been him. Maybe he was a little bit afraid. Maybe he really didn't know whether he should come out and ask. And instead of going to the Master and asking Christ himself, he motions to John to do his bidding. You see, I think that oftentimes that when we're plagued with ourselves, it seems that oftentimes then we begin to look at others to see what Jesus is thinking. We go to this person or that person. We go to that book or this book. We gravitate to the newest fad that's coming out in Christianity. Instead of finding out ourselves what Christ is thinking, sometimes we might be like Peter and we ask someone else to ask Christ what he is thinking. And I wonder perhaps if Peter, if that somehow it's related to his pride. Here is John, Scripture says, leaning upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But can you imagine Peter ever humbling himself and doing that? Maybe after the resurrection, but not before. Peter's too strong. He's too independent. He would never be seen leaning upon the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, Peter seems to be the man's man. He can't be too emotional. He can't be sentimental and things like that. Can't even be too curious about spiritual things. So he goes ahead and he asks John, John, you go. You ask. You see, pride will keep you from enjoying Jesus. It will keep you from pleasing Him as well. After Jesus is arrested, we find Peter tagging along in the distance. Look with me now in Mark chapter 14 for a moment, please. Mark chapter 14. Look with me at verse 53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. Verse 54 says, and Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Did you see that in verse 54? Peter followed, but afar off. Now, in the context here, we know that Scripture is talking about Peter physically. He physically was not close by. He was a distance away. But can't we make maybe a spiritual application? Following Christ afar off seems to be indicative of many Christians who are caught up with self. Caught up in the matters of life because they're so concerned with self that through all that concern then, they follow Jesus, but afar off. And here's Peter, with all of his bragging, with all of his desire to be with Christ, and yet it seems as if he's too proud. Now, let me paint a picture for you here, and this is just speculation here. Peter had been rebuked many times by the Lord Jesus Christ, time after time. Jesus strongly rebuked him when Peter suggested that the Lord not go up to Jerusalem in order to die. Peter was rejected when Jesus said that you cannot go where he is going. Peter was rejected when he did not want Christ to wash his feet. And when Peter took the sword and he cut off Malchus's ear, Christ rebuked him. Now, maybe, just maybe, and I'm speculating here, because Scripture doesn't say. And again, I'm trying to paint this picture, a representation of a type of believer. But maybe, just maybe, as we see Peter watching afar off, maybe Peter isn't so much afraid as he is angry. Maybe Peter is afar off because maybe he's angry with Christ. After all, the Lord wouldn't let him do the things that Peter wanted to do. Peter wanted to do this, he wanted to do that. Peter suggests this and he suggests that. And oftentimes, the Lord rebuked him. And so maybe Peter felt rejected. And so maybe Peter is afar off because maybe he's sort of pouting. Okay, if I can't have things my way, then I'm not going to serve at all. Then we'll see how you're going to get along. And so I'm suggesting that maybe it's Peter's pride more than his fear. Maybe it's not a question of his bravery that's getting in his way and causing him to purposefully not please the Lord. I submit to you that pride is a stronger motivation than fear. When Peter denies the Lord, all four Gospels mention that the account with a young maiden girl. And I suspect that maybe it's Peter's pride that is stopping him from being a witness to this young maiden. Not so much his fear. When I examine my life, what stops you, what stops me from witnessing at times? Is it fear or is it pride? And as I ask the Lord to examine my heart, oftentimes I think it's pride. Why? Because what are they going to say? What are they going to think of me? How are they going to respond? You see, it's not so much fear as it is pride. My preoccupation with self. How are they going to respond to me? And is it me? Are they going to think me is goofy? Are they going to think me is one of these fundamentalists that are goofy or whatever? And you see, it's the idea of me, me, me. The preoccupation with self. After all, Scripture tells us, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. As believers, we have not the spirit of fear, but we still have that strong fleshly capacity that allows our pride to hinder us, to allow our pride to hinder our service and our pleasing of the Lord. Peter was preoccupied with self. He was proud of self. But he was also, I think, perhaps maybe even shattered by self. Let us see. Shattered by self. Now back in John chapter 13, you see, after Peter bragged that he would lay down his life for the Lord, Jesus says then in John chapter 13 and verse 38, Jesus says, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." I don't know, but I imagine as I think in my mind's eye here that that news would have shattered Peter. Peter was an ideal man. He was going to do all these things for Christ. He had these good intentions of helping the Lord and protecting the Lord so that Christ would do the things that Peter thought he should do. But you see, God has another plan. His own perfect plan. And Christ's plan was a spiritual plan to give His life a ransom for many. And Peter had just a little bit of trouble putting all that together. And Jesus says to Peter, with all of his good intentions, with all of his abilities, with all of his ideas, Peter, you're going to fail. And I imagine Peter was devastated, shattered, hurt. Not only when Jesus said that, but then when Peter actually did deny the Lord Jesus Christ. I imagine when Peter heard that rooster crow, that he was shattered. And if that is the case, if that is truly how Peter felt, then the question is, why? And the answer would be because Peter had self at the center of his life. It was Peter's plans. It was Peter's objectives. And if Peter was truly shattered, it would have been because he was deep down more concerned with his agenda than that of the Lord's plan for his life. Now again, remember, Peter loved the Lord. He served Him. But it was at the times when he put himself ahead of the Lord, we see that that's when Peter always messed up or hurt himself. You see, self is a very strong and it's a difficult thing to overcome. And we can't do it alone. And for Peter, we can see that it was self that was the greatest cause, I think, of his spiritual defeat. And in Luke's Gospel, we're told in chapter 22 that after the rooster crew the third time, verse 22 says that the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how He had said unto him before the cock crow, "Thou shalt deny me thrice." And in verse 62 says, "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." You know, there are many Christians, are there not, who come to that point. They really love the Lord. They truly love the Lord Jesus Christ. They want things to go well, but somehow they seem to be plagued with self. And they go to that same private, bitter place and they weep bitterly. How many times does God's people fail? And when we do, oftentimes we find that at the root of that failure is self. Self will take you away from Jesus. Self will cause you to deny everything you have in Him. Self usually is the basic problem with marriages that are not going well as the Lord has set for us to have. Self is oftentimes at the basic root cause of family problems. And self is basically the cause in most church problems as well. D.L. Moody said, and I quote, I have more problems with myself than any other person," end quote. Peter was shattered because he allowed self to rule his life. But there's an exciting thing that we need to remember. The exciting thing that each one of us who identifies with the Apostle Peter is that as messed up as Peter sometimes made his life, the Lord still used him. Peter's life, I have suggested, is a representation of some ways and that so many people who truly love the Lord and whose life are filled with struggles. But Peter's life is also a grand testimony of what God can do in the life of a believer. In the Gospels, we see Peter struggling We see him being impulsive and even at times prideful. But in the book of Acts, we find Peter victorious. We find him patient and we find him preoccupied, not with self, but now he's preoccupied with Christ. One almost thinks that he's another man by the same name. And that's the second point, quickly tonight, the potential. Notice the exciting result. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, please. We see in Acts chapter 2 that as the Apostle Paul, as thousands of people are gathered together for the Feast of Pentecost, and this same Peter, who before wasn't even witness to that young maiden girl, is now standing up before this large crowd. And look at verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." That's exciting to see the change in Peter's life. Someone who was preoccupied with self, who is now preoccupied with Christ, and we see the exciting result. Look down in verse 37. Now when they heard this, Peter's preaching, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What a changed life. And how exciting is that? Not only is Peter Christ-centered, but the Lord used him. And Scripture says some 3,000 people responded to the message that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. In Acts chapter 5, after he's released from prison by the angel of the Lord, Peter goes right back to the temple to preach Christ died, risen again. And he boldly proclaims when he's brought back to authorities, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And so we see a change. Peter is different. Something happened, and we know back in Acts chapter 2 that Peter, along with the others, received the Spirit of God. And of course, that made all the difference. Why? Because Peter is no longer preoccupied with self. He's now preoccupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a change. And that's an encouragement. And we find that throughout Peter's walk with the Lord here on the earth, that Christ was molding him, and he was training him. He was training this man for service, but not for Peter's service, not for the things that Peter wanted, but that what God had for him in his life. And although this man loved the Lord and followed him, he was brash at some times and even prideful. In the end, he learned his lessons. And by faith and with patience, he learned them well. And we see Peter as an exciting example of what the Lord can do through his people, those who are preoccupied with him. And the Lord used Peter then to not only witness and to proclaim the word of God, but the Spirit of God used him to pen the word of God. Peter, a man that had a problem with preoccupation with self, but in Christ, he was a person with so much potential. And may that be an encouragement for all of us as we remember what Scripture says and to realize in our own lives that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. When Peter does that which I think John did, when Peter learned to lean upon Christ and trust Him. And so if you're here this evening, and if you identify with Peter and struggle at times in your Christian walk, May this be encouragement to you to know that God can use you and will use you. But it's God's way, not our way. It's God's plans, not our plans. And we need to submit to Him. And He will then indeed allow us to do all things through Christ.